So, you're flying home for the holidays. Traffic getting to the airport was a mess. Took an hour to get through security, and then there weren't any open seats at the gate. But you're finally on the plane, and you just want to relax and to get to know where you're going. But then the stranger crammed in next to you starts telling you his whole life story, maybe. What do you do if you don't want to hear it? Larry Mueller here on WPR News. Looking at travel etiquette for the next half hour with our guest, Calista Gold. She is a certified etiquette instructor, founder of the Culture and Manners Institute, and is the author of the book, The Exceptional Professional, What You Need to Know to Grow Your Career. And as we talk to Calista about riding on the plane, I hope you'll join us. What behavior annoys you when you're on a plane? Have you ever had to get a flight attendant involved to settle a maybe a turbulent situation, could we call it, with another passenger? Maybe you wished you had just driven to Grandma's house instead? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Calista Gold, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me on, Larry. It's an honor.
How's the behavior of airline passengers these days in your mind?
It's bad. It's terrible. And when you look at it, the legroom area has shrunk from about 35 inches down to 31 to 28 inches.
Yeah.
And people are crammed in. The seats are a little bit tighter, and there are longer waits at the gate, and you've got the TSA lines, and people are paying more. They have to, pay extra for certain things and certain seats and checking bags, and so people start to feel entitled.
Yeah.
And they behave badly.
Yeah. Maybe we should start with getting to the airport. Sean Duffy, the U.S. Department, the U.S. Transportation Secretary, who was born in Hayward, Wisconsin, by the way, recently suggested that people should stop wearing slippers and pajamas while flying. And a lot of people made fun of that, of those comments. But can dressing better make you behave better?
Yes, actually, there is something to that. When you are dressed better, you will behave better usually, but it's also you'll be treated better. I had somebody complaining to me one time. They thought that the gate agent was kind of short with them and kind of pushy, and then they had to put their luggage in the seat or the size thingy.
Yeah.
So, and they were really grumpy. And so I said, well, what were you wearing? It's like, well, I was wearing these shredded jeans and a big sweatshirt. I was like, well, what do you want? You're treated the way you're dressed.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I guess, and back in the day, in the early days of flight travel, men wore suits and ties, and women dressed up.
Right. You don't have to get all that dressy. I mean, if you're business casual, just look decent. Don't wear your tank tops and your midriffs and your shorts and things like that. It amazes me when people get on the plane coming from someplace like Florida and they're wearing T-shirts, flip-flops, and shorts, and then they ask for a blanket. Wouldn't it be easier just to wear clothes? And then it's freezing on planes.
Jeremy in Mineral Point has something for us. Hi, Jeremy.
What's going on, y'all? I just want y'all to know, like, when traveling and I am on the airplanes, I'm the one who definitely is the irritating person sitting next to you, right? Like, I break that bubble. I'm checking in. I'm trying to feel you out. I'm trying to learn a little bit of your story, because these times tell me that we don't have the luxury of playing around with connection or not, right? Democracy is being challenged right now in this time. Whether you stand on one side or the other, it's clearly, obviously, we're living through some special things. And so as we have this conversation, y'all, I'm thinking about whose universal truth and understanding around ethic and boundaries, who do we prescribe to? But then I'm also thinking about people's differences, right? There's different forms of communications. There's different things that may lean a person to communicate or not. I dance that fine line, but I definitely push the boundary with respect to where we are as a country.
Oh, Jeremy, thanks a lot for calling. Comment, Calista.
You know what, Jeremy? I think you are on the right track when you make conversation with the people around you, because you never know what you never know who you're going to be sitting next to, who, you know, might be somebody who can help you in your career, but also think about the little things. Think about those times when the plane is late and you have to get to another connection. You know, sometimes if you make friends with all the people around you before the plane takes off, then they're more willing to let you scoot ahead of them, you know, to get off the plane faster. So I always think it's good to have a conversation with people on the plane. And, you know, and it is what it is. You know, there's a hodgepodge of we're a melting pot. And so there's different cultures. And that's, you know, that makes us a richer nation. And so if you get to know people that way, too. It's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. I'll smile and I'll be pleasant to the people when they come in. I'm always on, because I make sure I get an aisle seat. typically, when we're loading, I'll have to be the one to get up and let people in the two seats next to me. But I always do that in a friendly fashion. And then you kind of read the crowd a little bit or read the person next to you. And if they pull out their business computer and start typing, then I just leave them alone.
Right. Well, they say the polite thing to do is talk during the food or the beverage service.
That's a good time to do it. Jeremy, thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy.
Appreciate it. Gatehogs. You know what a gatehog is.
That's somebody who sprawls out over several seats. When all the seats are taken, they have their luggage on the seat or they have their dog in the carrier on the seat. And one time I saw an elderly man approach this young woman, and she had luggage on seats on either side of her. And he was kind of frail looking, and he said, "Can I take one of those seats?" And she goes, "No, these are saved." And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me." I jumped up and I was like, "Here, I need to stretch my legs. Here, take my seat." But it was like, what? How terrible is that? It's like your luggage didn't buy a seat on the plane. You know, she was taking up three seats. I couldn't believe it.
I'm thinking about things that have happened to me over the years. And etiquette rules. Once my daughter and I were on our way to San Diego, and we were going to miss there was a cancellation of the flight to get us there, the second flight, the second leg, and so people, you know, were told to approach the folks that were handling this, and I was really pleasant and joking with them. I got there. I was first in line. I went right there. I knew what was going to happen, and friendly and joking, and you know what? They fixed me up really well.
Yes, it pays to be kind to your gate agents and also your flight attendants. I have a friend, Mark Brown, who's a professional speaker, and he speaks all over the world. And when he goes to the gate, he goes right up to the gate agents and he says, "Thank you for serving my fellow passengers and I appreciate you." And then he does the same thing with the flight attendants when he goes on the plane. Well, guess what happens? Mark Brown gets upgraded to first class. He gets extra drinks, you know, pretzels, you know, whatever he wants. But that's not the reason he does it. He's just a kind and thoughtful person. And that's really what etiquette is all about. It's being aware of the people around us and attentive to them.
Matthew emailed us. He always wondered if there were rules about not taking your shoes off on planes. People that do that kind of gross him out.
I kind of agree with that. Especially when they take their bare feet and put them up on the armrest. Yeah. Of the people in front of them, that drives me really crazy.
Oh.
It's like,
well,
eh.
I haven't had that happen to me before.
That's gross.
So
there isn't any written rule, but yeah, I don't like that either.
No written rule, unfortunately.
Now, if you're on a transcontinental flight, you know, maybe you do take off your shoes.
Yeah, but you don't stick them in your feet between the...
Oh, no. I've had people put their feet on the back of the seat and, like, rock the seat back and forth.
Speaking of seats, the thing that probably bothers me the most is, especially if I've got my computer out and I'm doing some things, is the person in front of me going all the way back with their seat.
Oh.
How do you deal with a situation like that?
Oh, that's awful. You know, especially if you're working on a laptop, there's no room. There's no room. With, you know, 28 to 31 inches, there's no room. So the thing you have to do is maybe tap the person on the shoulder and just politely ask them, you know, I'm a little bit penned in here. I'm kind of a tall person, and so I've got longer legs. And so I will do that. And sometimes people will say, oh, yeah, I understand. And they will move it up a little bit, or they'll move it up all the way. I've had people say no.
Yeah.
And that's awful. You know, if it's really a bad situation, you get the flight attendant involved. Or you can, if the plane is not full, you can ask the flight attendant, could you reseat me?
Yeah, that makes the best idea, I think. Well, as I said, I'm always on the aisle seat because I make sure I'm on an aisle seat. I pick that beforehand. So the only armrest I have to deal with is the one to my right.
Right.
who gets the armrest?
That's a great question. I actually like the window seat. I like looking out the window the whole time. So, yeah, that's tricky. You kind of have to share the armrest. I think everybody should get one armrest. So, you know, that person in the middle should have one armrest either way.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The worst is when you get seated next to a huge person and then they lift up the armrest, and it's like, ah.
Yeah, and there are, I've been in that situation too.
And you feel bad for the person because it's like they don't fit into that seat.
Yeah,
Well,
there's been some argument on that. Some people have said, well, that particular person should buy two seats.
Right, but usually the people that need that are the ones who can least afford it.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Amy from Milwaukee emailed us, we should all be treated the same regardless of the way we dress or look. We should have plain etiquette. We should not take off shoes or socks. Amy and her husband do what Jeremy does. They talk mildly with the other folks. Turns out someone they met on the plane lived two blocks from them. They always thank the flight attendants and any employee they come in contact with.
Okay, I'm going to challenge that notion. The reason we dress up better is we dress out of respect for others. So, for instance, I talked to this college professor one time, and in a college class, you know, you taught college for many years. The kids show up in their ripped jeans and their T-shirts, and you know, just kind of thrown together, and sometimes still wearing pajamas from the night before. And this one professor used to dress up in a suit every day, and she dressed beautifully. And I said, well, do you dress, why do you dress up when your students are dressed so casually? And she said, I dress out of respect for my students. So that's kind of a different way of thinking of it. She said they've, you know, spent a lot of money to be here, and then they've also, they're working hard in the classes. So she said, I dress out of respect for them. And so that's really a way we should think about it. Maybe we dress up, you know, in respect for our flight attendants.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't have, you know, hairy armpits showing, and everything. Just look a little nicer. You don't have to be dressed to the nines, but, you know, just wear decent clothing.
Craig in Baraboo has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Larry. Hey, thank you for this discussion. I've had a number of flights where I've had people with small animals in little boxes sitting behind me, and oftentimes they yip and whine and have a hard time. And one time it got to be a little annoying, so I told some flight attendant, I said, could you help me out here? She said, well, what do you want me to do, put them in baggage? Well, fine, okay. So I solved it myself. I bought some noise-canceling headphones, and I just wear them on the flight.
Ah, noise-canceling headphones.
Yeah, they're really starting to crack down on animals on the plane. You know, they really have to be a legitimate therapy animal. And even then, it's, you know, that's, I'll tell you what, my pet peeve with the pets is when they take the pet out of the carrier and they put it on the seat. Because, you know, I'm looking at this dog's rear end on the seat and I'm thinking about my own seat and thinking how many dogs' rear ends have been on this seat. I mean, the plane doesn't get that thoroughly cleaned in between passengers. So yeah, I don't like pets on the plane.
Any tips on how to behave during safety instructions?
Yes, you have to listen. You have to listen and pay attention because you have to be an example to others. You know, if they're small children, even if you've heard it 100 times, please, please listen to the flight attendants. Again, that's being courteous to the flight attendants. Even if you've heard it 100 times, listen, because you never know. Maybe there's something that, if you are doing something that distracts other people from listening, you may put somebody in jeopardy if they haven't really listened to it before or haven't listened to it closely in a long time. And, you know, there's different things. And there's some other things that you should do when you're on a plane. Always look at what row you're in and count how many steps to the emergency exit, because maybe the lights go out at some point and the emergency lights don't come on. So you should know, you know, how far is the emergency exit behind you and in front of you?
Yeah, I always do that. And I do pay attention and look, even though I've heard it more than 100 times. Mm-hmm. And I did it for my own safety, but you're right. It's also as a courtesy to the flight attendants, although sometimes they're just recorded messages.
Right.
And you're not paying any of it. And so there's nobody, well, there's still flight attendants there and there, mm-hmm. and they're looking at the folks who are on the plane. Any etiquette rules to follow when listening to music or watching a movie on a plane?
You should have headphones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in a gate area waiting for a plane and it was kind of empty. And I sat away from everybody because I had some work to do on my laptop. And so I was sitting in kind of a quiet area. And a woman came and sat in the seat right next to me. And she was playing a video game on her iPad. And it was just like, doop, doop, doop. Ding, 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 ding. I was like, what are you going to do?
Well, probably get up and move if you can.
Right.
About, you know, I always have, having had children of my young children of my own on a plane, tips for dealing with a crying baby or a child who's maybe kicking your seat, which I've had many a time.
You know, my niece actually traveled with a baby over to Rome on a European trip, and what she did was she brought little earplugs and little chocolates to give to everybody in the seats around them. I always think you just have to have a little patience with parents. That, you know, guaranteed that parent with the screaming child feels really, really bad, you know? So it doesn't help to give them a dirty look or say anything nasty to them because they feel really, really bad. I had a nephew and his wife that were traveling with two. And one just screamed all the way on a 2-hour flight. And he said to me, Aunt Calista, he said, we were that family on the plane. So you just have to have patience because usually the flight attendants come and help out. But it's an unbearable situation, but it's not something you can do anything about. Susan, bring your noise-canceling headphones.
Susan from Gills Rock emailed us and says when someone in front of her puts the seat all the way back, she turns on the air vent above her and points it at the person leaning back, and it works every time without any confrontation.
Aha. That is a little bit passive-aggressive, but we did have a conversation. Larry and I had a conversation about that before we went on the air. There was a woman that I know who did that, and yes, it was effective because she politely asked the young woman in front of her if she would put her seat up, and she said no. And so then she went to the air vent.
And had results.
Yes, yes.
Jimmy in Valley Junction, what's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning. I normally wear leather on flights because if I'm going to be treated like livestock, I might as well dress the part. I think that the airlines could do a lot to create civility and make it easier on passengers. One thing they could do is load the plane from the back to the front, so you don't have to fight to get around people. You know, once they get the first class and they're sipping their champagne and stuff, they could load from the back to the front, and they could include one bag, check bag, in the price of the ticket, so everybody's not trying to drag their stuff down to the gate. And I'll take my comments off the air.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I think that is a good idea to load from the back of the plane. And I think they try to do that for the most part. I think it's usually the first class passengers are the only ones that go on first.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they do load from the back of the plane.
Well, I hope that's... I think there was one airline that wasn't doing it, and then they changed their... They tried another approach, and then they went back to the old way.
Southwest Airlines recently changed, I've heard, that they're going to, you know, not the sit anywhere. They're going to assign seats. And I think that's a pretty good thing because usually when I'm traveling on Southwest, I'm by myself. And it's I get on there and people say, oh, this seat is saved. Yeah. It's like, no, it's what at one point I said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, you try not to create any fuss or anything, but I don't enjoy that.
I don't either. Well, Calista, boy, it was a quick half hour here. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we can do this again down the road. Thank you very much.
Super. Thanks, Larry. I really enjoyed it.
Calista Gould, our guest, her book, by the way, is The Exceptional Professional, What You Need to Know to Grow Your Career. And she's giving us some advice about what to do when you get on a plane in order to kind of save your own sanity, I guess. I want to, by the way, thank everybody who donated during our year-end member drive. With your help, we received over 2,000 donators. Support from people like Dave and Lois in Madison makes WPR's essential service possible. So thank you very, very much. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a different kind of travel, and we'll look at the history of sleigh rides and sleighs. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.